Anybody familiar with Psalm 103? What? What's the first words? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, I read that the first time. And you know, we read these things in the old King James or New King James and this and whatever. And I try to relate it to modern day language, lingo, whatever you want to call it. And I'm saying to myself, it's kind of like saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's like, bless the Lord, forget about it. I can't express. I can't express how much I want to bless him. You understand what I'm saying? He says, in all that is within me, bless his holy name. And he repeats it again. It's so emphatic. It's so strong on David's heart as he's writing this. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And then he says this line, and forget not all his benefits. I says, that's a strange word to use. Forget not all his benefits. I would think there might be something more powerful that you could use. And when I think of benefits, it's like, you know, when you go for a new job and you sit down with your new employer and they're going over, you know, what your salary is, what your wage is going to be. You know, you're going to make $100,000, hopefully, you know. Then they go into what your benefits are going to be. You know, we're going to set up a 401k for you, and anything you put in will match. You know, you'll get health insurance, medical insurance, including vision and dental. Well, benefits. You'll have a pension if you stay here and you retire from here. All benefits. And here's that David saying, you know, bless the Lord, oh my son, and forget not all his benefits. I think sometimes we forget about all the benefits. You know, we look towards the main salary, let's call it. That's the main thing you look at when you go for a job. And that's kind of like our salvation. But then along with that, the Lord provides all these benefits. And I think sometimes we just kind of don't pay that much attention to it. And then David goes into it, and he starts listing a few of these benefits. He says, who forgives all your iniquities. You know what iniquities are? They're all the things in your life where you just don't measure up. That's what iniquities are. But yet it's important enough to God that if you remember back in Isaiah, I think it's 53, where he says he was bruised for our iniquities. He was beaten for our transgressions. You know what transgressions are? Murder is not a transgression. Something is severe. Transgression, you know what the Lord once gave me a vision in my mind what a transgression is. Transgression is you're driving down the road and there's a double yellow line separating you from the oncoming traffic, right? And you are not to cross that line for any reason whatsoever. But you take your eyes off the road for a minute, maybe pull out your cell phone, and you drift across the line. That's a transgression. You understand? It's just like almost like a minor departure from the truth or the right way. And yet he was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, where we don't measure up. And he forgives them all. That's one of his benefits. He forgives all our iniquities. Next line is, who heals all your diseases. Now, we could stand here and argue this one, couldn't we? I mean, you could say, well, Pastor, I know I've had some diseases. I know people who have had some diseases, and certainly didn't seem healed to me. But, you know, this time here, this experience here that we're going through, He likens it to a flower in a field that is here today and gone tomorrow. It's a drop in the bucket. The diseases, the problems, the things, all the stuff we go through, they're minuscule in comparison to eternity and everything. We go from here into the presence of God. We are healed of any disease you possibly had or experienced while you were here as a flower in the field, so to speak. He redeems, who redeems your life from destruction. This is a benefit? A benefit sounds like a little, you know, a little nice. Oh, I get vision coverage too. I get dental too. I'm having a hard time reconciling that word benefit. There had to be a stronger, more powerful word that David could have come. And I checked the King James, the New King James, the NIV, the American Standard, the Web, the everyone uses that word benefit. Nobody came up with another word. But it redeems your life from destruction. We were all destined for destruction. You know, when you read John 3:16, you know, and you know the whole scripture, and then after that he says, he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. And then he explains it. This is the condemnation. Light came into the world and man rejected it. We're destined for destruction. But he redeems our life from that destruction. And then he goes on and he says, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's an awful big benefit to me. He crowns our life with loving kindness towards us in spite of the stupidity that we do. Amen? The iniquities, the transgressions. And then he says, who satisfies your mouth with good things. We sang something about being satisfied. And he says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I don't know about you, man, but I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for... You know, you read in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, and he says, serve the Lord in your youth, while you're young, before your legs get weak, before your back starts to stoop, before your vision starts to go, before you have to keep saying, what, what? Can you say that again? He says, before you look out the windows and all everything looks kind of dim. But we're going to be renewed. Man, I'm going to feel like $1 million. I was only thinking, I was watching something on TV, and I think it was a cop chasing a criminal, whatever. And he comes up to a fence. And I can remember doing this when I was a kid. You come up to a fence, and you can just grab it and fling your legs and your whole body right over it and keep running. Try doing that now. Man, you'll land flat on your face. You won't even get over the fence. You'll land on top of the fence. Forget about it. I tried recently jumping during worship. I've come to realize my feet don't leave the ground. No matter how hard I try, I can't get them off the ground. But I'm going to be jumping for joy and leaping like a gazelle one day. Man, I can't wait for that day when my youth... You know, there's an old saying, it says, too bad that youth is wasted on the young. Hallelujah. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Man, is that a benefit. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Listen to this benefit. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Man, if we got what we deserved, we'd be in big trouble. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins, nor does he punish us according to our iniquities. He says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Now listen, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He remembers. He bent down and from the dust of the earth, he formed a body, made it into a man. He knows that that's all we are. Is without his spirit, we're nothing but dust. As for man, like I said before, his days are like grass. As a flower in the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. And forget not all his benefits. Don't forget them. You know, God knew. Of course he knew. He knew like we're dust. He knew what we're made up of. He knew how our emotions, our behavior. He knew that we have a hard time remembering things. That's why he's very often in Scripture, he says, forget not this, forget not that. He says, don't forget all of this stuff that I've done for you. When he met with his disciples, as I share every time we do communion, he says, he held up the cup and he says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I've done to you. Remember the extent to which I went for you. Don't forget. Don't forget. You know, and what we do very often instead, and I understand it, you know, we've all read Scripture, we've read the Old Testament, all the stories, all the accounts that go on, and it's awesome to recall the hand of God as we've seen it move in the lives of the heroes of old. You know, we think back to Moses. We think of Moses going up the mountain, seeing God's shadow as it goes by, and coming down with the Ten Commandments. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how God, and we think of these things, and wow, God, how'd you do that? How he led them through the desert. Then he comes to the sea, and God parts the sea so they can travel across. And we think, oh my God. You know, but what I was thinking as I was going over all of this is, you know, God is omnipotent. God is not a man. He says it, I'm not a man. He's not limited to our strength, our abilities. If we ever had the power to part a sea and let an entire nation cross over and then have an entire army drown in it, you know what we would do afterwards? We'd probably find a rock and sit down on it and go, I can't believe I just did that. Do you think God did that? Wow, that was a hard one. Come on. This is God we're talking about here. It's no harder for him to move a mountain than it is for him to move a pencil across a desk. He's God. He's omnipotent. His power is unlimited. And we marvel when we read and we recall what he did in Moses, how he delivered the Israelites, his mercy in pardoning them, his faithfulness in keeping his covenant with all of them, Moses, with David. We read the life and the stories of David and how God intervened and it blows our mind how God did it with Joshua, with Noah. When Noah building an ark in the middle of a desert where it had never rained. And then you get into, after Christ had come with Peter and Paul, look what he did with Paul, who was Saul, who his main mission in life was to eliminate. He was like the Hamas of old. Eliminate all the Christians. And that's where we get the expression of somebody being knocked off their high horse. That's what God did to Paul, to Saul. He knocked him off his high horse. Fell down and was blind, and he turned his life around. You go, my God, how did you do that? He went from being the main persecutor of Christians to writing most of the New Testament and being the main actor in that portion. But, you know, although we marvel at all these things that God has done, wouldn't it be even better and more to our benefit to think about the hand of God in our own lives? What's it say? That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He could still part seas. He could still deliver nations. He could still do everything he did in times of old. He's still knocking a few of us off our high horses. He's still doing it. Wouldn't it be better for us to think about the hand of God in our own lives? Shouldn't we be looking on our own lives, at least being as full of God as he was with Moses and with David and all of those? And seeing his faithfulness and his love towards us just as much as he did in the saints that went before us. We speak about this great cloud of witnesses, and yes, there is. But God is still doing the same work today. And that's where testimony comes in. We speak so often, Rich speaks so often, the power of testimony, how God, as you know, sit and talk with people about it. Look what God did with Moses. Look what God did with Elijah. And then so on and so forth. And Solomon. But tell them about what God's doing in your life. The testimony of the power of God still at hand till this day. Our testimony. I love to sit and tell people of the miracles that God has wrought in my own life. We've told you about the time how he actually transported us across the Outer Bridge crossing from New Jersey to Staten Island. We're never driving across it. We never drove across it. We did not drive across it. I know that for a fact. But if it was just me, I could say maybe I took a snooze or something. But my wife was in the car with me. I had a witness. That's a testimony. That's as big as parting the Red Sea. And yet there are other times. Like the time, you know, you look at that, that's a biggie. You know what blows me away when I tell people about that testimony? I'll get through with the whole thing and they'll go, wow, that's pretty cool. They probably don't really believe it. I think you took your eyes off the road somehow, and maybe Pastor Dye fell asleep for a moment, you know. But most of the time, that's the response. Wow, that's cool. But we, you know, that's a biggie. Parting the Red Sea is a biggie. You know what was as big to me and to my wife, the time, and I told you, the time at the Bronx Zoo, when we were totally exhausted, couldn't take another step. And yet our car was probably a mile and a half away. And this guy shows up in a golf cart and says, "You look like you need help. I'm here to help you." Get in the car, and he drove us there. That's as big as parting the Red Sea to me. Share those testimonies. You all have them. You all have them. You all have them. You know, we do the Lord an injustice when we think that he did all these mighty acts and showed himself strong for all those in the early church and before that. Because doesn't he do the same for us in the here and now? He's still in the same salvation business, deliverance business, whatever he needs. Look back upon your own lives. I'm sure you can recall some incidences where God showed up unexpected, did the unexpected, provided the unexpected. I'm sure Chuck had that experience when he got the check in the mail. Oh, my God! He probably was thrilled out of his socks. That's a miracle. Now, all we did was take an offering and put it in a basket and send it to him. But it was God behind the whole thing. You understand? Have you never had any deliverances? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, you were demonically possessed and, you know, you needed to be delivered. Were you ever in a situation where you just needed God's help to deliver you out of it? To make a way that you can get through it? Understand, amen? Have you never had, as the Bible speaks of passing through rivers, where you were carried by God's presence? What is that picture, footprints in the sand? I forget exactly how it goes. What is there? One set of footprints? One? He said, because he was carrying you, you know, through it. I forget exactly how it went. You've been through some fires, and yet you came through unharmed. You know, I had you may think this is silly, but an incident, a situation just last week. You know, we have a school downstairs for those of you who may not know. Okay, our preschool has really taken a beating. Because now all public schools offer free preschool. So where we used to have 50, 60 kids in 3 and 4 year olds, now we're lucky if we get a dozen between the two grades. So we wanna, and Angela is here, she's our teacher of our 3 and 4. She knows we wanna hold on to every child we possibly can. But we get some. Now you're talking 3 year olds. And some of them are not even 3 yet because they got till December 1st to be 3, so there's still 2 years and some months. They barely could say mama and dada. And here we are sticking them in school. And they struggle sometimes to sit at a desk and follow direction and listen to the teacher. But what am I doing? The kid's saying, what am I doing here? I want to be home playing and doing something, running around outside. But this is our generation. This is where we are today. So recently, within the last week, we had to let 2 kids go. One was just extremely immature. You're just not ready for this. The other one was a tremendous behavioral problem, besides being immature. Well, the last one, last week, I get a call, and I think it was on the Friday, we had to let the child go. And the mother was upset, but then the father came in. The father was angry. I mean, he was livid. And he was, this is a Christian school, how could you call you? And on and on and on and on and on and on. And I get the call, he wants a meet with you. Wants a meet with you 9:30 Monday morning. I love when this stuff happens on a Friday and then you got all weekend to be aggravated over it. So now all weekend I'm gone. I'm getting too old for this. I've been doing this 40 years. I really just don't want to do this anymore. But I got to sit with this angry parent now and tell him that his child is not ready for school. He's a behavioral problem, so on and so forth, and try and get through to this guy who is livid. We're praying about it all weekend. Oh, Lord, give me a break here. Come in Monday morning, I'm in my office, I get the call. Mr. So-and-so is here. All right, here we go. So I go downstairs, he's standing there. I says, come on, we'll go in this office here. We go in and sit down. I sit down, I says, have a seat. He sits down, he says, wait, before we start, he says, I got to ask you to forgive me. Ah, okay. He says, really? He says, oh, I really lost it the other day, and I am so sorry. The things I said and whatever. And he confesses to me. He says, I went home and I told my wife, you know, how I was, and I told him I demanded a meeting with the principal 9:30 Monday morning. He says, no, not the principal, the devil. I made a meeting with the devil for Monday morning at 9. He's telling me this now. He says, please, forgive me, please, I'm so sorry. And I started to try and explain. I had the teacher write out a whole list of the incidences, you know, that had happened. This is how God works, okay? So now I didn't have to sweat it anymore. He's already asking for forgiveness, confessing. He's changed his whole attitude, his whole demeanor has changed. We now start laughing over the things his kid had done. Because I started going over. I said, let me give you an account of what happened. He said, I went downstairs the other day just to talk to the teacher or something, and she was leading her class out of her classroom. I says, and I came down. The whole class went this way. Your son went that way. He starts laughing. I says, then we finally corralled him in, got him back to the class. She moved him into the hallway to go to the bathroom. The entire class is lined up on this side of the hallway. Your son is on the other side. He's laughing hysterically. We had a good old time. He says, I thank you so much for trying. I said, look, maybe in 6 months it'll be, you know, 6 months at that age, you're 2.5 or 3 years old, there's a world of difference. Maybe we'll try him again. We'll see. But we hugged the devil and his parent. But that's as big as parting the Red Sea. You understand what God can do when you lay your needs, your rivers before him that you have to cross over? That's how God works. The God, same God who gave Solomon the desire of his heart, hasn't he heard you and answered some of your requests? Come on. You know darn well he has. That God of unlimited resources that David sang, he satisfies my mouth with good things. Now, I know he's not really talking about satisfying your mouth in the natural, although I love to think of it. I thank him every time I get a chicken palm hero. He satisfies my mouth. But he's talking about, you know, being satisfied probably is one of the best states we can ever abide in. Man, just being satisfied. Everything's good. You know, sometimes you sit down, maybe as a parent, hopefully you can, you know, my kids are all healthy. They're all doing okay. You know, no major problems, just the little things of life that go on. You know, you're satisfied. God showed himself strong. He heard my cries. He answered my prayers. He satisfied my needs. That's the kind of God. Hasn't he done that for you? Come on, I know we can all sit here and complain, and there's probably all kinds of situations going on in your life right now. But there have been times, and there will be more, where he will bring you to that place. As the psalmist, you know, says about lying down in green pastures, you know, being led by still waters. The goodness of God. It's the same to us as it was to the saints of old. He hasn't changed. Hallelujah. We should be thankful. We should be full of praise. And our souls should give forth the music of our testimony. The music of our testimony. I challenge you, why don't some of you come in next week with a song of your testimony? Turn it into a song, and I'll give you an opportunity to come up here and sing it to us. All right? Yeah, right, you're going to do that. Sure. But we need to praise the Lord, because His mercy endures forever. And let me just close with this. We've heard this before, but I want you to really meditate on it. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Wow. What a mouthful. No matter what you're going through, no matter how your heart has been hurt, your hopes have been dashed, your prayers seemingly weren't answered, none of it can be compared to what's going to be revealed when we're with Him. You understand? Can you comprehend that? It's not even worthy to be compared. I've always said, you know, facetiously, so to speak, when that day comes and I stand before the Lord, like all of you, you probably have a million questions. Why, Lord? Why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? How come this happened? But I picture myself standing before the Lord and going, never mind. Never mind. Never mind. In light of the glory that's been revealed in what He's done. Amen? Amen. Stand with me. And I encourage you to bless the Lord with all your soul and everything that is within you. Bless His holy name. Amen? Father, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, that we can look back at Your marvelous acts of old and recall how You've delivered, how You've healed, how You've made a way, how You've parted a sea, how You brought water from a rock. But Father, even more so, may we marvel at what You're doing in our lives today, how You're still the God of old. You've never changed, and You're still providing and performing what only You can do in a way that only You can do it. Father, we'll always bless Your name with all that is within You and give You all the glory and honor and praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Let's have a time of fellowship in the cafe and just love on one another.